Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
You got to be careful on how that stuff works. But it
Interesting.
really comes down to is right now, it's more important than ever to have your own email list in the market that you're trying to go after.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. Rick Mulready here. This is episode number 118, and welcome to 2017. Hope your holidays were awesome. Thanks so much for coming to hang on me today. Really appreciate it. Now on the podcast today, Scott Volker from theamazingseller.com is going to become my first three-peat guest here on the show. He rejoins me on the show to talk about e-commerce strategies that are working right now to sell more of your products. If you don't sell e-commerce, if you don't have a physical product or do e-commerce, don't be hitting that stop button quite yet. I'm going to explain to you in just a second why this episode is for everyone, regardless of what type of product that you are selling. Now, Scott's an expert in private labeling and selling products on Amazon through their Fulfillment by Amazon or FBA program. He's been doing it a long time. He's got a great podcast on the subject. He sells products that teach you how to do it. He's really the go-to guy for selling on Amazon. And as I mentioned, in 2016, there were a lot of changes to how you sell physical products online. For example, Amazon made some major changes to how sellers can get exposure for their products. And Scott's been following all these changes and figuring out how to capitalize on them here in 2017. And that is what you're going to hear today. Scott's going to share the exact strategies for how you can sell more products in 2017, especially with how to best use paid traffic to do that. Now, again, as I mentioned, even if you don't sell products on Amazon or in e-commerce or anything, still listen to this episode because all of what we talk about today is relevant for online businesses selling things, whether it's physical products or courses or consulting. And my guess is that as you're listening, that little light bulb in your head's going to go off just like it did for me as I was listening to Scott as I interviewed him here. It's very basic of what he's actually talking about and makes complete sense. We actually talk about it a lot here on the podcast, but it's become a mindset shift for how you sell physical products online and really any products online. And so we break that all down today. We get into how to strategically leverage Facebook ads for selling your products. Scott shares a case study of how he built a targeted email list of over 4,000 people in less than a week. And then he doubled that list within 30 days. He shares the super simple way that he was able to get his content in front of millions of people. I'm laughing because it's such a great story, for only $110. And he shares his secret sauce that's allowed him to increase his online sales despite platforms like Amazon imposing more and more restrictions on how you sell your products. Now, everything we talk about today, as I mentioned, regardless of whether you sell a physical product or a course or whatever, all this is relevant to you, and you can take these strategies and implement them right away in your business. Now, before we get into it with Scott, one of my goals here in 2017 is to double the listenership of this podcast, and you can play a big part in that. So I want to ask you a favor. If you are liking the podcast here and you've not yet left a quick, honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes, please show your support by taking just a second to do that. It's a huge help. Only takes about 30 seconds to do it. And that is what allows us to reach more people and get this podcast into the earbuds of more people that need to hear this stuff, and so that it can help them as well. So if you just go to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and you can leave your honest rating and review right there. Thanks so very much in advance for doing that. Really appreciate it. All right, without further ado, let's go hang out with Scott. Scott, welcome back to The Art of Paid Traffic. How's it going, man?
It's going great, man. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited to have you on because we've been chatting for the last, I'm looking at my timer here on Skype, about almost 20 minutes now. And we've been
goes quick
talking a little bit about what we're going to be talking about here in this episode. And I'm really excited to be talking about it. But before we dive into the Amazon changes and what's come about and how you're taking advantage of that now, you've been on the podcast now two different times, but I want to sort of refresh my audience here, let people know who you are for those people who don't have not heard those episodes before. Let people know who you are and what you're up to.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a family guy. I love hanging out with my family. That's first and foremost. Everything I do is lifestyle. But I got started, I guess, in the online space going back, now it's been over 10 years. So in internet years, that's like forever, right? So, you know, but I just basically went out there and figured out a way to get my information online in the photography space. Fast forward from that, I started dabbling into e-commerce, eBay, Etsy, and then recently Amazon. I say recently, about 2 years ago now. And then that turned into something that I really started focusing more attention on because I was getting some pretty good results. And we shared that on one of your past episodes as far as like, you know, what I've done and kind of how I got there. But now I spend a lot of my time working in partnerships in Amazon businesses because just it's amazing how when you take action on stuff, doors start to open and opportunities start to kind of come to the foreground. And it's pretty exciting stuff. And then, you know, just helping people get started selling their own physical products online is really, I guess, what I'm mainly focused on right now and kind of doing. And now this most recent thing with Amazon making some changes. And for anyone out there that's brand new, like Amazon's like any other platform. It's like Google, like they have these updates and these changes and eBay has, and everybody kind of gets, you know, like all up in arms, like, you know, what are we going to do now? But I mean, Rick, you've been around a long while as far as like seeing the different changes and stuff. And it's nothing new. Right. It's just, we have to adapt. It's kind of like the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur, you know?
Yeah. So I just looked up while you're talking and you were on episodes 54 and 69. So, guys, if you want to go back and check out, if you've not yet heard Scott's previous episodes, rickmulready.com/54 and or rickmulready.com/69. And so we are about 40 episodes later here on that episode 69 because we are in the early 100s. Nice. So a lot has happened. A lot has happened since then. You did mention, though, something, Scott, real quick, as far as that I'm curious about what you mean by this. You just said partnerships. You've been working with people as far as partnerships, and that's been sort of a one little shift in your business. What do you mean by that? What's going on with there?
Well, you know, I found that, and you can probably attest to this. It's like, okay, I started out, you know, I was running my own photography business. Then I started to teach people online what I was doing. Then I was teaching people Photoshop and all that kind of stuff. And you know how that happens. Now, all of a sudden, my other business started to slip a little bit because I was focusing on the other end of it. So it's like, how do you balance your time? But more people were getting benefits from me helping. The same thing kind of happened with Amazon. I started getting really good results. And then I was starting to help more people. They were getting results. And then I started to see mine were either staying still or they were falling backwards. And I said, how can I leverage my time or other people and kind of help them, but then in the same breath, you know, become still involved in the business? Because I'm not one to teach something if I'm not doing it. I don't want to just do it once and then say, oh, it worked once, but I want to be in it. Even though I have tons of students that are getting really, really amazing results, which actually one of them, by the way, I want to give a shout out here. Keith Armstrong, Melissa Armstrong. Keith is he's actually one of your students. He actually listened to the podcast that I was on. He got introduced to me from you. Mm-hmm. And now he's one of my students. He has been now for about a year and a half. They're doing phenomenal. He was just at my live event. He found me through your podcast. So again, that's how things happen, right?
Awesome.
Great guy. And he talks very highly of you and your material. Yeah. So, well, you know, because here's the deal. I found that there's some people that don't have the expertise to actually go in there and kind of like retool or move a business forward. So all they need is a little bit of help, or in the same breath, maybe I need a little bit of help as far as like not needing to do all of the things that it requires to start a brand new brand or to take a brand to another level or expand it. So I found that people that I want to work with, and it kind of happens through the relationships that you build. And then it's kind of like, hey, maybe we should maybe team up on this. You're really good at this and I'm really good at this, and this would help us both. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like right now I'm involved in three different brands. One of them is one that I started, and then another one I started, but then as a partnership, and another one recently where we're kind of doing this whole open brand concept, which I'll be talking more about on my podcast. But it really just came because of networking and then getting to know one another and then saying like, this seems like it would be a really good fit. But for me, it's about leveraging my time and how can I be most effective?
Love it.
That's really how it's come about. So I never imagined going back to where I would have started a podcast, kind of tracking and kind of giving the journey of, you know, where I started on Amazon to where it is now almost 2 years since the podcast, over 5 million downloads already. Like, it's just insane, right?
Yeah.
But it all happened because, you know, I went out there and did something. But the partnership was really, and it still is really a way for us to be able to continually move a business or a brand and build out and then still be in it and also be getting results and building, you know, building stuff. So
yeah, it's a great lesson for everybody listening here. I mean, the more that you can look to partner with other people, and you know, you said something really important there, Scott, as far as like complementary, you know, complementary skill sets. If you can make those partnerships with people, that is a very, very quick way to grow and scale your brand and your business. Once you make those partnerships. So
yeah.
You mentioned earlier talking about changes and just to kind of recap here, and I do want you to get into this here, but for everybody listening, what we're talking about here is selling stuff. I mean, in the most simplest terms here, selling stuff on Amazon and creating your own, not necessarily creating, you don't have to be creating your own product because you can outsource that. And please get into this here, Scott.
Yeah.
But it's basically finding a product that you can be selling on Amazon. And we broke it all down in episodes 54 and 69. So definitely go back and check those episodes out for a full background about what we're talking about here. But why I wanted to have Scott back on is because so much has changed in less than a year. And
yeah,
how you can be successful selling stuff on Amazon has really sort of the formula to doing it successfully has kind of changed. So what really has changed for us, Scott?
Yeah. And kind of going back to like, and I want your audience, because I know a lot of your audience is probably like digital product yep. creators. And the thing is if I could, there's actually a blogger right now that I'm working with. She actually is a neighbor of mine, a new neighbor of mine, which I didn't know that she was a pretty successful blogger, but had no product of her own, but had a very, very massive following. I was able to help her now. And she has her own little product line that she sells on Amazon and to her list. And it was just a great thing because she already had the list and she already understood that part of it. But the thing is, you know, if you have a following or if you've built an email list or if you know how to do paid traffic or if you're learning it, to add a physical product into your product suite is a really smart idea, I think. And by putting it up on Amazon, it's just another platform. You can put it up now. You can put it up on Walmart.com. They actually are allowing new sellers there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 So you have other platforms that you can use, not just Amazon. Amazon is the platform, but Amazon is still, to me, the best place to start if you're brand new. And it's where you take your own product. It's not even your own product. Let's say that it's a generic product, but then you brand it as yours. We call that private labeling, which is the same thing as if you went into a store and you see a generic brand of cereal and you see a name brand. It's the same difference. You're just private labeling it. And then you can either build a brand around it, or you can just do an open brand where you just have, you know, miscellaneous brands that you just want to go out into, you know, different niches. So that's really what we're talking about. The change is this. You used to be able to, and you still can, but, you know, it all comes down to like market research, product research, as it always has. But if you found, let's say, products that you could sell on Amazon that had good sales numbers and all of that, you could go on there and you could do a launch on Amazon. And the launch kind of looked like this, where you would get a product, you would put it up, you would optimize the listing just like you would if you had a website, because you want Amazon to know what it's about. And then what you do is you would do like a launch giveaway or a promotion. Okay. And this sometimes could be free, or you could give them away for a dollar or maybe 50% off. And what that basically does is it gets you sales on Amazon, and that's going to push rank, and that's going to also start to get some reviews coming in. There were review clubs where you could go out there and people would raise their hand and they'd say, I'd love to be a part of this review club. So this way here, I can get free product or product at a discount. So it's great, right? They all raise their hand. So now we as sellers would go to that group and say, hey, we've got this product. Would you like to basically get it at a discount? So, you know, you can try it out and you can have it. But the only thing is we want you to be able to give us a review. That's the only thing that we require to give you this discount. Okay. And it worked fine. Mm. Okay. People were doing it. It was working great. Problem is, Amazon started seeing that people were doing this and they were leaving fake reviews. Okay. And people were being misled on the reviews. And that's everything that Amazon has built their business and their reputation on, is, you know, I guess the social proof and, you know, knowing that they can trust those reviews.
Yeah.
Well, when they started to be, you know, kind of manipulated, they started to say, wait a minute, we got to change some things here. So they made this huge change, okay, which really, really took the market and flipped it upside down for a lot of people, because they were using that launch strategy as their strategy. And that was it. Right. So if you were going after a competitive space and they had 1,000 reviews and you're coming into the market and you got no reviews, which one are they going to buy, your customer? They're going to buy the one with more reviews. Just makes sense. So you weren't able to just go out there and just get reviews anymore, even though they were legit reviews. Some people are going to still give you a 3-star review. They were still legit reviews. But Amazon said, we are not going to allow you anymore from this day forward to exchange a product at a discount for a review. You cannot say, Rick, I'm going to give you this product for a dollar. All I need you to do is leave me a review, an honest review. I don't care if you want to leave me a negative review. I don't care. You are required to leave me a review.
How would they know that you're doing that?
Because they're Amazon. They basically can find different sources as far as where you're coming from. Okay. And once they do, they actually did this, Rick, which is crazy. Review groups out there, which I'm not going to mention the names right now, which they were all good. There's nothing wrong with them. You know, not all of them were good, but most of them were good. And what they did is they tracked where all of those profiles were coming from. And overnight, you would lose 50 reviews.
Oh,
7,500 reviews. Some people, hundreds of reviews.
Brutal.
Well, the thing is, though, Rick, is when you get into a competitive space like supplements, there was brands that they were doing giveaways every single day just to keep themselves ranked, because they knew that they were going to make it up on the profit on the back end.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So now all of a sudden you got, like, how do you compete with that, right? If you got deeper pockets, you're going to be able to just keep pushing. So actually it was a good thing. It stabilized, and it still is, I think. But then people started reaching out, especially on my Facebook group. They're like, now what? Now what are we going to do? And I'm like, wait a minute, time out. Like, why are we only thinking about Amazon right now? I understand that's where we're starting, but that's not where we need to focus all of our energy. There's e-commerce, our own sites, our own platforms, our own sales funnels. And if we have our own email list, guess what, guys? We can give those people a discount. We just can't ask for a review. We can't say, we're going to give you this in exchange for a review. That's the magic thing there. That's the magic word. You cannot say that, or the words. You can't say, I'll give you this at a discount if you leave me a review.
Right.
In exchange for a review. You cannot say that. So if you want to, like, so an example, and we'll talk about this because we just did a case study on this, is where if you build an email list, which you talk a lot about on your podcast, through paid traffic or just organically, and if you build that email list in your target market and you want to do a flash sale, or you want to do a 50% discount or a 25% discount or even a dollar offer, you can do that. You just can't say, I'm giving you this in exchange for your review. Go buy them. For the discount. Now, why would someone want to do that? Well, because it's going to show Amazon that you're getting sales. When you get sales on Amazon, you start to rank for keywords. That's how it works.
Okay.
The reviews on the back end will come when you start to follow up with your customers. And you can follow up with your customers just the same. You just have to make sure that you don't single people out that did reviews in the past. If I gave away 100 units at a discount, I can't follow up with them differently than I would if someone just bought straight through Amazon. Does that make sense?
Say that again.
Basically, if I said, I'm going to give out 100 units at a discount over here on the right, okay, to this list of people that I have, I can't single them out and write them a different email, okay, than I do if someone just came straight to Amazon.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So makes I can't sense. Like say like, hey, you just got something at a discount. That's really awesome. Can you do me a favor? Can you go leave me a review? You can't do that. It has to be straight across. If I want to do that to everyone, then I'm okay.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So that's kind of, you got to be careful on how that stuff works.
Interesting.
But it really comes down to is right now it's more important than ever to have your own email list in the market that you're trying to go after. Really, really important.
So how did you come up with that? Like, you saw the writing on the wall, obviously.
Yeah.
And this has happened over the past, two thirds, if you will, of the year here. This has happened.
Yeah.
How did you come up with, you know what, like this, the writing on the wall here is saying that we need to create our own email list to get around this, if you will, in order to be successful?
Okay, a couple different reasons. Number one is because everything still, no matter what happens, Amazon bases a majority of their rank off of sales, period.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter. Like right now, I'd say, Rick, if your competitor is on page one of a certain keyword, stainless steel garlic press, and they are ranking for that and they're getting 30 sales, guess what? You need to get 30 sales to be able to compete with them to be on first page.
Okay.
Amazon's going to put them there because they're getting sales every day at 30 sales. So if people are buying it, Amazon's saying, well, I'm going to keep them there.
Sure.
You know, they're getting sales, right? So the only way that you're going to have a chance to get there is you have to match those sales. Okay. Plus you have to be optimized. If you don't have stainless steel garlic press in your listing somewhere, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right. It's got to be there. It's the same thing as Google. You have to tell Amazon who you are and what you are and what you're selling. Right. It's just, that's basic 101 kind of optimization.
Sure.
Right. So what I said was, okay, number one, if you go to a review group that was there before, now a lot of these review groups are now changing it to where they're a deal site. They're like a Slick Deal or a Fat Wallet. If anybody's heard of those, it's where people post these really great deals and people go buy them. And that's great. The problem is with a review group, these people that raise their hand, they've been trained to leave a review.
Okay.
Because that's part of the process, right?
Sure.
You need to leave a review in order to get these discounts. If you don't leave a review, we're going to know it, and then we're going to boot you out of the group.
Okay.
That's basically what it was, okay. Right? And there was even ways that you could look and see before you even requested someone to review your product or to buy your product. You can see their past history as far as how they've reviewed.
Got it. Okay. Interesting.
So I could pre-select, say, oh, Rick, he's given a lot of 5 stars. I'm going to select him. Oh, this person's done 3.5 stars a lot. Now they're a little bit more picky. I'm not going to pick them. Right.
It's this whole other world here, man. Like I'm learning right along with everybody who's listening right now. I mean, this stuff fascinates me.
Pretty crazy, right? So what I said was, well, we got to kind of start from scratch, and why not create our own list of people, even if they're deal seekers, even if, because people say, well, if you're building it through a contest, aren't they just free seekers? They might be, but guess what? There's going to be a percentage of them that will still go through and buy at a discount. And that's all I need. I just need the fuel of the sales to spike it on Amazon. So this way here, I can continually push my rank. Right.
Yeah. So you mentioned a couple key words that jumped out at me, and fueling the spike is one thing that jumped out at me. Do you need consistent sales, or is it more of that spike that is going to get you ranked higher on there?
Yeah. No, it is consistent, because here's the deal. If you just go ahead and you know, you sell 100 units one day, and then, you know, the next day you sell 2, and the next day you sell, you know, 5, it's going to slowly, you're going to start slipping, right?
Okay.
So you're going to need to keep those sales going. But here's the deal. If you have a good product, okay, and if you have, you know, a good set of reviews, you know, even we have a product right now that we're launching in the fourth quarter, which is a crazy time in Amazon, and we have no reviews, a little bit of pay-per-click that we're using, and we're selling like 40 to 50 a day. Okay. It's crazy, right? Wow.
Using this strategy we're about to talk about?
No. This is before we're even launching it using an email list. And the reason is because we found a product that didn't require reviews to sell. Okay.
Right.
Because if you have a product that is dependent on reviews, meaning if you have a lot of your competition has a lot of reviews, then you have to compete with that. But if people don't have anything to compare it to,
then
you don't have, you see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
So again, another part of this thing is figuring out product research and how to do it right, where you're finding products that don't have high reviews that still are selling well.
That's
really the trick there. But to not go too far off the line here, the path. Okay. So to get those steady sales, we want to get the steady sales so we get on page one, okay, for our keyword. But here's the deal. If we get on page one, we're in front of everybody now, right?
Yeah.
So if we're in front of everybody and we have a good product, we're going to start getting our own sales organically. So we don't even care about the push anymore. As long as we get there, now we're getting some of our competitors' sales that they were getting because they were the only ones in town.
So the spike gets you up top there, and then that is what generates the consistency.
it's kind of like you getting yourself on page one of Google for a really popular term.
Right.
If you get there, you're probably going to stay there as long as people are clicking on it and they're getting value and they're staying on the site a certain amount of time or whatever. Right?
Okay.
It's the same idea. You're just getting in front of the eyeballs.
Got it.
And then if you have a good product and they start buying it, then naturally, that's why if you were to run Amazon pay-per-click, even if you were spending more than you were making, but it drove you up in the rank to get on page one, then it's going to be worth it because you got there. You got on the billboard, right?
Yeah.
You're people to actually walk in the door now.
Got it. Okay. So the strategy now is to build an external list.
Yes.
Build your own list and then market whatever product that you're selling to that list, which makes, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit last year. I mean, I'd have to look at the dates when those episodes were on, but we were talking about this to an extent, you know, early this year, late last year in 2015. And so now it's just become a far more, you've got to be doing this strategy here. And, you know, we were talking about earlier that, you know, PPC is part of this strategy for you, building an external list, doing Facebook ads, you know, driving this traffic over to build that list. Now, how are you building the list though? So let's just say you've identified, and I know that you have a case study to share here, but just say you've identified a product that you are selling and now you want to build a list around it. So you can get really targeted with, you know, obviously on Facebook with Facebook advertising. What are you offering people to get them to opt into the list? What is the lead magnet or the incentive there?
Right. So let's just take, for example, now, and a lot of people don't think like this. They think of their product only. But let's just think about with the review groups that were out there. They were just people raising their hand to say, I want discounts on products, period. So it's not really defined as a market. Right.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is, let's say we're going after the fly fisherman or just a fisherman, right? That, you know, just likes to go out and do bass fishing or whatever. Right. So we would go and find one of the big items in their market. So like a really awesome, like, fishing rod and a tackle box filled with all kinds of lures. So it's going to be a $250, $300 value. I'm going to buy that. I'm literally going to buy that with my own money.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to use that as my lead magnet. And I'm going to get people to want to enter to win that. And on the back end of that, I can do two things. I can do one of two things. I can do both if I wanted to, but if I don't, I don't have to do them both. Right on the back end of that, I can say, hey, thanks for entering. Share this and get more entries through something like King Sumo. Or I immediately could just upsell them and say, hey, great. Thank you so much for entering. Because you entered, I'm going to give you 50% off our tackle box.
Okay.
I could get a self-liquidating offer there because now I'm going to pay for my ads. I'm going to get my email list. And now I know these people that are entering, for the most part, are interested in fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So now I can take that list too, Rick, because I've learned some stuff through your podcast and stuff, is I can take that list now and I can upload it to Facebook and I can do retargeting or I can do a lookalike and I can expand on that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the power of it. What people were doing before, which I was a fan of in the beginning when you were to do a launch, give away maybe 100 at a discount, and that's going to get you on the map. And then it's pay-per-click and then start building your own list. That's always been my thing. That's why we were talking about it on your podcast before. I've always believed in that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this point, rather than like before, we would pay money to send our product to this list of other people that built this list of these people that just want discounts. Why not build your list? If you're going to spend the money, spend it, get the email address before you give them a coupon code or before you give them an entry. So this way here, you can follow up with them again in the future or use them as, you know, a retargeting or a lookalike. And the other thing that we done and I learned this again from you was I dropped a pixel on the landing page of the contest.
Yeah.
So even if they don't enter, I've got them building inside of an audience inside of Facebook.
Nice.
Right. So if they leave, it's okay.
Yeah. So you're growing this email list and then, you know, in the fishing, in this niche that you're talking about here, is this an example?
Yeah.
You now have this list. Let's just say you have, you know, 5,000 people on there.
Yeah.
And you can now, like, absolutely, you can upload it to Facebook. You can create lookalike audiences. You've pixeled a page. Basically, you've created a very targeted audience that you can sell products to that you hopefully are selling on Amazon.
Yep. Or your own website. I mean, we're just using Amazon as the example because that's kind of, you know, what my podcast, you know, initially started from. But really, it's about you could do this with a sales, you know, funnel if you wanted to. Just build it like with three little products, you know.
Yeah.
We're just saying, like, this will help us leverage that list to be able to push sales on Amazon to help us rank. But then externally, if we want to, if Amazon says, hey, guess what, Rick, you're done. We don't want you to sell anymore because you screwed up. You did one thing that violated our terms of service. You're gone. Bye. You've got this list of people. You can just push them to your own e-commerce now.
Yeah. And that's the basis of everything that we talk about here on the show. Mm. And I'm not diminishing it anyway. I'm just thinking, like, looking at it more from a logical perspective, that I just find it so interesting that this is now, if you're doing this on Amazon, if you've got any kind of, I mean, this is why we talk about don't rely on building an audience solely on Facebook, for example. You've got to build your email list. You know, we hear the money is in the list, and because we do own that list. So this is everything we're talking about here. Now, I know that you mentioned the fishing niches as an example, but you did a case study where you built an email list in 30 days in another niche. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, I can. And this will be the first time I'm sharing this publicly, Rick. So I'll share it here on your podcast. Awesome. I did it on our private workshop, which I know you're doing a workshop here soon, which I'll be attending, by the way.
Love it.
But yeah, I did a workshop live with 30 people. I shared it with those people only. So I'll share it with you guys. You know, we did this as a case study only. I said, you know what? If we're going to do the workshop, I'm going to do this. I'm going to build it so I can share it. So this way here, I don't even care. I don't even have a product in this space right now. Now, after doing this case study, it opened my eyes and I'm going to have products in this market, just to be clear. But what we did is my son, who's 18, he's into sneakers. He's a sneakerhead, as they call them. You know, there's sneakers out there going for $25,000, $30,000, believe it or not. Yeah, it's just insane. Crazy. There's a shoe that just dropped. They call it a sneaker drop. They just dropped the other day in Adidas. My son was looking at it, and it literally sold out in minutes. It sold for like $150, and right now it's on eBay going for $1,000. So it's literally just insane, right? So I'm like, okay, this is a pretty good market, but I'm going to raffle off a pair of sneakers. I'm going to find a good pair of sneakers. They were $160. They were Kobe's. You know, the Kobe sneaker. It was $160. So I said, I'm going to put this up there. I want to build a list of 1,000 people. I want to do this as an example so I can share it with my students.
Yeah.
So I did it. Well, it blew my mind because we did that. I had 1,000 emails in probably about 7 days.
Okay. So hold on. So you said you put it up there. Back us up here. What?
Yeah.
You chose the Kobe sneakers.
Yep.
Bottom $160, decide you're going to raffle these off to build an email list. Your goal was to get 1,000 people. And you said what, 30 days?
Yeah, I wanted 30 days. I wanted 1,000 emails.
Got it. And so you did that within 7 days. How'd you get to 1,000 in 7 days?
Okay, that's a great point. I'll share that. So what we did was we first built a very simple landing page, and we used a tool called King Sumo. So King Sumo was the only one that we've seen that did what we wanted it to do. What we wanted it to do, and it was very important that it did this, is you had the contest page. It showed what you were getting. It had a countdown, timer, all that stuff. But it also, on the back end, once they entered their name and email address, it would give them the opportunity to share the offer, but not the offer just to say, hey, share it with your friends to be cool. It was like, hey, if you share this and you get 3 people to enter using your little magic link here, they call it a magic link, a special link. It's like an affiliate tracking link is what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you get 3 people to enter using your link, you'll get 1 extra entry. Right. So now that person's motivated to share it. Right.
Yeah.
And then it just starts to spread. So what we did is we went ahead and we set that all up, and it didn't take us that long. I mean, again, for people that don't know about that stuff, you could hire someone to set up a WordPress blog real quick to install the King Sumo. That's the only thing I don't like about that, is you have to have a WordPress blog. But anyway, we set that up, got the landing page up, put the offer up there, and then we're like, OK, now we got to start driving traffic. So we were going to do it 2 different ways. One was Instagram and then one was Facebook ads.
OK.
And we did both of them. The Instagram one, I'll tell you real quick, just I won't get too deep into it, but we just went out and found influencers in that space that had a following of at least 150,000 followers. We soon found that 150,000 was good, but we could find better and bigger. And that's what we did. We found one that had 1 million followers. We reached out to them. In their little bio, they had a little thing. Hey, contact us for advertising, right? Really simple.
Oh, they
really
did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Really easy. And then we contacted them and we said, hey, you know, we're thinking about giving away these sneakers. Can we do it on your page? And how much is it going to be? And he's like, it's $90 for one post. If you want it to only stay up for 24 hours, if you want it to stay up for life, it's 110. So Rick, I chose the 110. All right.
Smart.
So, you know, so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to learn Instagram ads, any of this stuff. I'm just going to go and just pay this guy to post it.
Right.
And I found, actually, to be clear, I found 4 other pages too that I used. They had a smaller audience of maybe 150 to 250,000 and they still perform well. But this one here, by far, it just did really well. So I did it. I paid for, I think it was 3 posts, but the first one blew my mind. The image itself on their page within, I think, 2 hours had 3,500 likes.
Wow.
Which is insane on Instagram. And then after that, it got up over 5,000. And then in probably, I would say about 2 hours, we had over 300 emails. And then from there, I think we had on that entire, I guess, launch thing on that one, maybe 3 days, was probably close to 600, 700 emails.
For $110.
for $110.
What did the... I love it.
Right.
I love that it was $20 more for lifetime.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a minute, right, Rick?
What did the image look like, and what was just kind of, can you give me an idea of sort of what the text was?
Yeah, it was really simple. It just said exclusive giveaway in big letters. Uh-huh. And then it basically said, you know, free Kobe, I think they're 11s, they were called Kobe 11s. And then I put the value really big, $160 value. Yeah. And then to enter, basically two things. Follow us at, and then we had our name of our Instagram page. So we've, and also I just should say too, we've built our page to almost just over 4,000 followers by doing this process too. So we have an Instagram page now that we never had that has over 4,000 followers.
Wow.
That we can potentially use. And hey, who knows, maybe build it to a million and then charge people $100 a post.
So or 110 for lifetime.
Yeah, or 110. So then from there, the image just basically had obviously a picture of the prize. And then it just said, you know, you have to do two things to enter, or follow us at, and then the name of the page. And then from there, you just said visit link in bio. And that was it.
On your page.
Yeah, on our page. Okay. So here's the thing too, for people to remember, like they had to literally click out of that and then go over to our page, follow our page, and then click on our link on our bio, and then get out of Instagram, which then warns you, by the way, you're leaving Instagram, just right. So you guys know, you know, they always do that even if you're leaving Facebook. And then they had to enter their name and email address. That's kind of a lot of steps there,
yeah.
But they want them, right? They want these things. So sure. At the time that we did our workshop, we had, I think it was only 15 days old. We had over 2,200 emails. And then when that contest closed, we ran it for 30 days, by mm-hmm. the way, which is a lot of people say you should run it for only like 7 or 10 days. We ran it for 30. And at the end of the 30, we ended up with 7,200 emails.
Wow.
I'll tell you the cost on that. The cost on that was just under $1,000, including the sneakers.
Oh, really?
You can just do the math on that, right?
It's
just crazy. And now the Facebook ads too, we ran $25 a day, and we were getting, even right now, we're getting clicks on that because we're running a secondary ad now, or a secondary promotion on that. Okay. We're getting emails. You're going to die on this one. We're getting emails for about 9 cents.
Wow. Because, so are you able to share the offer? We didn't talk about this before, but are you able to share what you're offering there?
It's the same thing. It's to drive them over to the contest page.
Oh, okay. So you've got another pair of sneakers.
It's the same pair. We're just driving over to the same thing. Our funnel is the contest.
Oh, gotcha.
So everybody just gets driven over to the contest page.
So when are you actually giving them away?
We give them away on the 31st day.
Oh, okay.
And King Sumo actually will randomize and pick that winner and then actually email them for you.
Wow, 9 cents. 9 cents.
Yeah, 9 cents, which, you know, again, I mean, that's crazy. We have another one that we're doing in another market now, actually one of my partners that I'm working with, and we're doing one in his. And I think we've been running that for 13 days and we've got 2,400 emails and our Facebook ads on that. We haven't done any Instagram on that yet.
Yeah.
On the Facebook ad on that one, I think we're spending about 18 cents.
Wow. I mean,
for an email address.
It's such a smart strategy because now that you have this list and the whole reason that you're doing this is what you're talking about before, Scott, is that you have this list, you've built this list. In this case here, you built 7,200 emails for just under $1,000, including the cost of the sneakers.
Right.
And now you can market, you know, accessories to them.
Accessories.
Or whatever it is. It's relevant.
Or t-shirts or whatever. Yeah, I can do whatever I want.
Relevant to this audience that you have built.
Yep.
I love it. I love it.
I should mention, I know you're friends with Nathan ConvertKit we're using on the
Nathan
back
Berry.
End. And we just started using that, by the way, as a test because we're going to start talking about it a little bit more on TAS, our, you know, the Amazing Seller podcast and stuff. And we wanted to try it out on a smaller scale and see how everything kind of lined up. So we're using it. We're liking it. It's working really well. So that's the other component. So there's really two things. There's, you know, WordPress blog, obviously, but then King Sumo and then over to ConvertKit. And that's what's managing all of the emails.
Once they're on your list, you know, obviously, they're waiting to hear if they won or not. Mm-hmm. Are you staying in touch with them?
Yes.
Are you? What's that look like?
Yep. And it's a great point. And the cool thing about this too is, and I talked about this at my event, is just reach out with something that's pertaining to them, right? So first off, you might email them back 3-4 days later and say, hey, just want to let you know it's getting closer. And also, you still have time to share your magic link to get more people to opt in and get more entries. So
oh,
you
really?
Remind them
yep.
about their magic link so they go share it. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I should go share that. I'll get more entries, right? Mm. So you're doing that and you're also keeping them excited. And then we can also send them, and we did, is send them something like a new sneaker that's coming out in December or the end of December and what people are saying about it.
Okay. So that's how you're kind of keeping them warm.
Yeah. We're just keeping them warm by kind of talking a little bit about what they're into and kind of like, you know, the new one that's coming out or, you know, like one that went for $25,000. Can you believe it? You know, that type of stuff.
Gotcha. Do you have somebody on your team writing those emails and stuff like that?
Yeah, actually, I do. Actually, he's the one that's going to be coming to the event with me. So.
Oh, okay, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome,
yeah,
man.
So, yeah, he's doing great with that. I mean, I see everything that he's doing, so it's kind of cool to kind of see how everything's laid out. I understand the whole concept, but like you said, it's like, how much can you do in your business, right? And that's what I mean, partnerships and all that stuff. It's so smart.
Yeah. I love this, man. I love it. Like I said before, it's... In my mind, it's like, well, it's kind of obvious, but for so long, there was one way that you were successful on Amazon. And like so many of these platforms, and you know, people are always up in arms about all the changes that happen so frequently on Facebook. And, you know, I hear it. It's frustrating for me as well as trying to teach it and keep up with, you know, all the changes that happen. But it's just the reality of these platforms and how to take advantage of these platforms changes over time. So if you're willing to adapt, like, which is exactly what we're talking about here, that's when you can be successful, you know, if you are willing to adapt. So, you know, build that email list of your target audience for your Amazon products. Or, I mean, really, this, like we were talking about before, this is relevant for any business that you're doing.
Any business.
As long as you have that email list of relevant people, you know, that list is what you own. So you're able to market to them.
It's huge.
Now, you kind of glazed over it there, Scott, but I do want to mention the Amazing Seller Podcast. That is your podcast. Everybody listening, definitely check that podcast out. It's a really, really good one. Where else can people go to connect with you, Scott, and find out more about what you're up to?
Yeah, I would say just theamazingseller.com. That's it. Just head over there. There's, you know, all the episodes that we do, we put up there. Any other resources we have on there as well. Just go there. You'll find your way around. You can use the search button there if you want, and you can kind of see, you know, if you're interested in anything. I do a workshop as well. I can give the link there, theamazingseller.com/workshop. And I take people through kind of the launch process as far as like how to pick a product, source it, and all that stuff in between. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And podcast is probably the best place. I like people to kind of get to know, like, and trust before you do anything anyway, and there's a ton of information there, so that's the best way, really.
Awesome, man. Highly recommend the podcast, so everybody definitely check that out. Scott, thank you so much. You are my first third time person on the podcast here, so you rock, man. Always bring it with your good information here. Really appreciate you being back on the show.
Hey, Rick, I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you in San Diego, my friend.
Yes, yes. When this episode comes out, it's going to be, I think, 2 days later that we will meet in person for the first time. Looking forward to it.
That'll be awesome. All right, man, thanks.
All right. I hope you got a lot out of this one with Scott today. As I mentioned at the top of the show, one of my goals in 2017 is to double the listenership of this podcast, and you can play a big part in that. So I want to ask you a favor. If you are liking the podcast here and you've not yet left a quick, honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes, please show your support by taking a second to do just that. It's a huge help. Only takes about 30 seconds to do it. So if you're not already there, just go to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and you can leave your honest rating and review right there. It's a huge help because that is what allows us to reach more people with this podcast. So thanks so much for doing that in advance. And thank you so much for listening today. Really appreciate it. Coming up in the next episode, my friend Brandon Lucero from soulwithvideo.com joins me to share a case study of how he used a three-part Facebook video ad strategy to have a six-figure product launch. And he did this in 2016. And I asked him to come on the podcast to break it all down for you. So that's exactly what we're going to do in this next episode. Break it all down for you step by step. So until then, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in that next episode.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.